This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Lily Yuryanti Farid is one of those multi-hyphenated souls. She's a writer, media communications and gender and development specialist. She's a researcher, she's a trainer and translator, among many, many others. She's also the founder and director of the Makassar International Writers Festival in Indonesia and the co-founder of Indonesia's first citizen journalism website. She has also published collections of short stories that explore issues of gender in Indonesia, and she joins me now to share more about her life and her work. Welcome, Lily. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, there's quite a CV there that I just read out. But, I mean, talk to me a little bit about your childhood. I understand it was filled with books, you know, and how did you even get interested in books and writing?
Well, I think because, you know, my mother bought lots of magazines, not only for myself, but for the whole family. Mm-hmm. So there were women's magazines, magazines for children, and she loved to, you know, loved to introduce this, you know, reading magazines on a weekly basis as one of the our family traditions. But I don't know, I mean, like, because I don't know if it's a fortunately or unfortunately, it was only me that who were really interested to look at the, you know, all these pictures, and then started to read the articles and ask questions about, oh, this is what you call writing. Oh, this is an article. Oh, this is a, you know, news coverage. Oh, this is the recipe. Oh, you can even put recipes on the magazines and all that stuff. So sure. I think this a kind of you know, childhood memories that are really bringing a strong influence in my, you know, in my life, and then I really like the even the smell of the paper.
Oh wow! Yes.
And also, because my parents ran a small printing shop, mm-hmm. and I remember that one day I came from the school, and then I saw that there was a pile of you know, it's actually a textbook, but with lots of short stories for children as a, you know, as a part of these textbook things. And then I really enjoy to read all this thing in a printing shop. So I think it's more like you get used to this kind of thing. So mm-hmm. you read the magazines with your mom, and that you saw your parents in the printing shop.
It was just around you, surrounded by it.
Yeah, much. And There is actually one a little bookshop in our neighborhood. The owner always come to our house and then, you know, knocking the door and ask, "Hey, do you need more books?"
How lovely!
It's less really, like, you know, I can actually now memorize or put everything in details. Everyone asks me, "How's your childhood?" I say, "Well, I knew there was a man who always come to my house and offering you new books, new magazines on weekly basis." And I think I just feel like, wow, this is what, you know, this is just such a beautiful childhood to share with many.
Yeah, so it was like a mobile library, was it?
Yes, but it's actually a bookseller.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, and I mean, that sparked a love for writing, for reading, and I mean, you are an accomplished writer, and I know you started writing around the time that you were already in secondary school, junior secondary school.
Yes, so when I was in junior secondary school, I started to write a novella. So it was a competition held by one of the magazine in Jakarta. So I went to the post office, sent my manuscript, and then hoping that at least, you know, they read my stories. But it was one of the winners. And now I feel like, oh my goodness.
Well done.
This is just like, you know, if you're a teenager and then you think that people out there read your stories.
Yeah.
Isn't it cool?
Yeah. Amazing. So that kind of got you started and interested. And but I know that in school or in university, at least, you studied agriculture.
But I know.
But you did eventually become a journalist, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. The agricultural things was an interesting story because my best friend went to that school.
Sure.
And my best friend said, well, if you want to follow me, you have to go to the same school. And I said,
oh,
okay,
no.
Let's do that.
How did your parents stick to that?
I think at the time, I don't know about today, but at the time, when you were in high school, you're not really sure what you want to do.
Sure.
Yeah. So you easily get distracted, like, are you going to be a doctor? Are you going to be an engineer? Are you going to study agriculture? And so when one day when we are about to, you know, fill in all the applications to attend the exams for the university, my best friend actually said, well, if you want to stick with me, you follow me. But I really enjoy that because I love nature. Mm-hmm. I really love nature. And I think I learn a lot about details and also not only about the landscape and things, but you learn about the life sky, the circle of life. I mean, you know, you see that how do you plant the seeds, and then you have to, you know, learn or study about the insects, the beautiful butterflies, and even the virus. I think in the, you know, in the in the field and all that stuff. And
sure.
I really like all the field trips. Yeah, because every time I join all field trip during my university time, it always, you know, I always come back with more inspirations. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, but once you graduated, you did, correct me if I'm wrong, then you became a reporter. And
yes, I work as a journalist. It was quite funny because although I started my writing as a fiction writer, but when I was at high school, I ran the, you know, these high school magazines.
Sure.
And then I'm more into the academic writing.
Okay.
So I joined or I entered a lot of... you know, I submit my writings for what you call as an academic writing competition for high school students. So that kind of things. And then I continued that when I was at university.
Okay.
So I really like to challenge myself to learn a new subject, and then you started to do literature review or started to conduct research on a particular issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it was... then when I was at the university, I saw an advertisement about essay writing competition organized by Japan Airlines in Tokyo.
Okay.
So the topic at that time was about tourism. I had nothing to do with tourism because I studied agriculture.
Okay.
But I decided I want to learn and I want to know more about issues about tourism. So I went to the library. Unfortunately, not many books that I can borrow to learn about the latest trend on tourism at the time. So I started to collect all the information from the tourism board and everything. And I started to write an essay. So I think it's 800 or around 1,000 words about tourism in Indonesia. And I was one of the winners.
Wow.
And the prize was actually attending a summer semester in Japan.
Amazing.
So,
wow.
Yeah, it was at the time that I told myself that, look, if you can write something really believable, you can travel the world.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah.
And I told my mother, I think if I write more, I can travel the world with my writings. And yes, actually, I've done that.
That's happened.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And
it was so naive at that time, you know, because you're just telling people that, you know, if I'm writing more, I can travel the world.
And you have. I mean, and you founded even an International Writers Festival, which we will talk about after this quick break. I'm speaking to Lily Yulianti Farid. She's a writer. She's also the founder and director of the Makassar International Writers Festival. Lily is here. She's here in Rimbondahan for...
yeah, Southeast Asia Artist in Residence Program.
Yeah, she's here for a residency program. And we're going to find out all about that after this quick break. You are listening to Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. In the studio with me today is Lily Yulianti Farid. She is a writer. She's also the founder and director of the Makassar International Writers Festival. Lily is here for a residency program under Rimbun Dahan, and we're just finding out a bit more about her work and her life. So, Lily, I want to talk to you a little bit about your first book. I think it was called Makunrai.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, and there's another book called Maya Saura, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yep.
And I understand these are collections of short stories that explore the issues of gender in Indonesia, particularly the role of women in traditional Bugis societies. I mean, why did you choose this theme to focus on in your writing?
I think if you talk about women's rights, you definitely talk about human rights,
mm-hmm,
right?
Definitely.
Because
yep.
I've got this kind of like obsession since I graduated from university, because I work as a journalist for one of the major newspaper in Indonesia.
Kompas, right?
Kompas. And it was actually the first national newspaper in Indonesia who introduced a concept of a supplement, you have extra pages dedicating to women and social issues.
Wow.
So instead of having a very conservative of traditional pages dedicated to women, like fashion, some recipes,
beauty
or
and
beauties and lifestyles and so on. There were two female senior journalists in Kompas who introduced this idea, and it was around 1998 when Suharto collapsed, the regime ended at the time, that when everyone, focusing on a more mainstream ideas, Kompas actually introduced this special section called Suara. Suara is a Sanskrit meaning your voice. Voice here means giving voice to those who,
marginalized.
Voiceless, people.
Yeah.
So here you have the issues that actually you learned in gender studies, but you decided when you have this section, special section for women in a newspaper, it means that you distribute this discourse to the general public.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to have a gender balance policy? What does it mean to have a gender sensitive in the workplace, and so on and so on? Mm-hmm. What does it mean to to prioritize women? For back then, there was a very popular program called a microfinance or microcredit program.
Yeah.
What does it mean to have more political leaders? To give room for female politicians and all that stuff. It became a new discourses that we read every Friday.
Oh.
And at 1999. I've got lots of inspirations from that, but I still have inside myself, I always say that I want to write more stories, because if you're a journalist, you work best on the deadline, especially if you work for a newspaper. It means that 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock, that's your deadline.
Deadlines,
and
yeah.
Every day, on everyday basis. So it's on daily basis that you work against that, the schedule. So, but as a creative writer, as a fiction writer, you have your own time. You get all that numbers, you have this, those headlines, those stories, and you try to, put it in your mind and then try to build it up. And then you want to say something, but in a more creative way. So that's why I use all this information, all this news, the hard news, and then using all these data and evidence as my main material for the short stories. And I believe that if you doing that, people will actually access the stories and give you know, some thoughts after reading it somehow. And I've got more materials when I moved to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I work for a radio station there. And then at the time, every day I read lots of news about, you know, war, poverty, every single things from all over the world. But again, you work against the deadline. So
sure.
I put everything that I've got in one file in my computer and say that I need to spare some time. So it was 2008, actually. So it took me 10 years.
10 years, yeah.
10 years to put or to cook everything in my creative kitchen, quote and quote, yeah. And then publish the collection of short stories. I also get connected with one female organization in Tokyo. They focus their work on comfort women during the Japanese occupation in Asian countries. So again, I say that, well, if you're a writer, if you're writing short stories or even a novel, and then you have a really good access to all this information, is such a, you know, there is a kind of a, like, stimulation inside that you need to write this. You have to do something about these numbers, this evidence, this fact. So both Makunrai and Maya Sora, looking at these pictures about not only about women in a Buginese context or in a particular context in Indonesian traditions, but it's a global thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a story about a mother who also works as a humanitarian staff for an international organization, always spending time to visit the war zones, and then look at the issues on women, children, and conflict.
Okay.
So all that kind of things that really, you know, give me a push, or there's like give me an energy in a positive way. Like I want to write something about this. Mm. Yeah. But I'm a very slow writer in terms of, you know, it took me 10 years. Now 2008, after I published two collections in 2008, it took me another 10 years to cook something in 2018.
And was that what did you come up with in 2020? Was it Family Room, or Family Room was
no,
also
Family Room actually selection, the best selection from these two books and translated into English, and Lontar Foundation in Jakarta asked me if I wanted to publish it in English, and they provide me the English translation.
I see.
It was published in 2012. Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, it does deal with, you said, not just Bugis identity, but you know, all the different experiences that you have from different cultures and everything.
Yeah.
How did people react to these stories? Especially when the first two came out, the first two collections of short stories.
Oh, yeah, I think most of my readers actually quite surprised, but in a good way, saying that, wow, I don't expect that you read that kind of you know, there's so many different aspects of women's life that you try to, you know, present,
yeah.
And I'm trying not to judge the decisions that women made, because I think our society is so judgmental with our, you know, our decision, our choice, our lifestyle, even, you know, like a political choice, for example. And then for me, it's very important for people to understand that each woman is unique, and you have to treat them as a human being.
Yeah.
I think you don't necessarily judge people or treat women in particular as someone's wife first or someone's mother.
Yeah.
But just as a woman, you know, and I think it's very hard though. So I keep pushing that issue.
The agenda.
Yeah, the agenda. And then I studied gender studies for my master and PhD. And again, it, you know, it allows me to give a real, to get a really good access in terms of books, journals, connections, attending lots of seminars, conferences, and all that stuff. I talk to people. I watch a lot of movies, you know, making connection with other female writers. And recently, just last week, when I arrived in Primbundahan, I launched with another Indonesian female writers living in Sydney. We launched a new initiative called Period. As you having your period, I'm having my period, you know.
Right.
That's very, it's a very women thing, but we don't want to call it as a, you know, female initiative or women's empowerment initiative. It's just a sign. It's called Period. Mm-hmm. What is Period? Period is an initiative to provide a platform for knowledge exchange, but organized by female writers and activists, but for male and female aspiring writers. So we're going to have our first workshop in Jakarta, December 17 and 18th, for, you know, it's a two-day workshop to learn about film reviews and literature reviews. So we want to provide this kind of platform for 5 years.
Okay.
But we call it Period.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's a period of time, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so that's wonderful. So that's just something that's just when you kickstarted and...
Yeah, so it's more like, you know, I'm writing and I'm doing lots of activism, you know, like, activities. And then that's why activism is very important also to, you know, to channel all these issues. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think another outlet must be the Makassar International Writers Festival, which you founded. You are the director, you are the festival producer. I mean, what made you want to create your own writers festival? And I'm sure it's also to tackle all these different issues that you come across in your research. I mean, your gender studies research, your writing, and everything.
Well, in 2008, when Makun Rai and Maya Sora were published, it was actually the new chapter in my writing career, because it was after publishing these two books, I was invited to Ubud Writers and Readers Festival. It was my first literary festival as a participating writer. At the time, I was still in Tokyo, but they invited me somehow. And I represented female writers living in Makassar. So although physically I was in Tokyo, but that's how they identify myself as a writer from Buginese background, from Eastern Indonesia.
Sure.
I think it's important to have, you know, that kind of representations from, you know, different places
parts
and different areas. So make it more gender balanced and geographically equal.
Sure.
After that, I was invited to Singapore Writers Festival. One story from Makun Rai, it's called The Kitchen. I worked with one playwright and one actor to transform the short story as a monologue. So we went to Singapore Writers Festival and performed that. And we had a really good, response. We had a discussion about what does it mean to be a female writer in a Bugis society or in your traditions, especially because you are also you're a female Muslim, but you have foreign educated or Western educated. I think you physically look very conservative or traditional. You very modest. But I know that you're very progressive in a way, like you see things differently from other women,
sure,
for example. So I said that, well, I want to create more platforms to voice this, because as I said before, that I don't want people to judge women. Mm-hmm. I want them to treat women as human beings. That's very important. And someone has to do it. Everyone has to do it, actually. But if you have ability, you empower yourself to do that, you have to do it. And you have to, Makassar International Writers Festival is a really good platform to start with, because I said that if I want to invite more people, but using a tagline or a banner saying this is a female writer meeting or a conference or whatever, we don't actually attract more male
participants.
But if you say there's a Makassar International Writers Festival, when you can meet writers, you can engage you with, engage in a really, enlightening discussions, and then you actually can share your ideas and even do networking and start your own collaborations. Mm-hmm. Isn't it good to get together in this very intimate and no pressure at all in this festival? And it's also a free festival.
Yep.
But very interesting, because 90% of the festival volunteers, they're all women, young women, the producers. And I try to, set that standard that I want to have a gender balance team.
Okay.
Since the first, year, I want to introduce this. I'm not a radical feminist. I'm a family-oriented person. I always put my family first, and I always share these stories to anyone, especially young girls who, approach me saying that I want to be your volunteers. I say, well, okay, this is how I work. I always, share my plan every year with my son and my husband, because I believe that I always become the unit of this family member. But want to do it equally. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that equally, it means that I have a feminist husband.
Sure.
And I try to, educate my son as a person who always appreciate other people, regardless their gender, race, age, and background. Mm. So that's my first investment. And my second investment, when I introduced the initiative called Makassar International Writers Festival, and this our parent organization called Rumata Art Space, I co-founded this with my best friend, film director Riri Risa. I always say that I want to invest to young people in Makassar, meaning that I share my experience and I share my knowledge and skills to all the team in this festival and the organization. I want to teach you or educate you about what does it mean to be to become as a part of a society with a gender equal approach, or always having this gender sensitivity in mind for every decision that you make for, to run your organization or to run your event. Mm-hmm. So having that kind of, awareness, I've been educating like 500 volunteers in total, I think more or less, that I always inserted this, gender perspective things, not in a sloganistic way, but in a more practical and make them think, if you're married, if you have kids, if you are a wife, if you are a mother, but you wanted to join our team, let's talk.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make it doable.
Possible, yeah.
Yeah, let's make it possible for both sides. Don't say that, I have a young baby. I have a young child at home, so I really want to join your festival. I say, do you know that even in the workplace, in this world, people start to talk about having a daycare in the office, I translated and published Indonesian edition of Anita Roddick's biography, the founder of Body Shop.
Body Shop, yeah.
And I shared the Body Shop actually introduced this kind of family friendly organizations. When it was actually become a very unusual thing or very foreign ideas even to a British society at the time. But Anita always said that let's do this business as unusual business. Mm-hmm. And if you ask more women to get involved, you actually try to make everything just for everyone. You know, as I said, that if you talk about women's rights, you talk about human rights here. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I really want to educate people through writings and through events. And I have found this is actually, kind of platform that I really want to, maintain and keep doing things like is, yeah.
It sounds wonderful. And I mean, it's that simple thing that you said, women's rights are human rights, which is, what people always say, like, feminism, what are you fighting for? You've got everything already,
I remember that I haven't actually said this feminist thing in front of my team in Makassar. I'm just, introducing all this kind of equality, the sure. concept of equality, because
this is what feminism is. Yeah.
Yes, and I read one journal, one article, academic article. It's about how in Asian society, including in Malaysia and Indonesia, people are afraid of this word feminist.
Yes.
Yeah. In Malaysia, you've changed it as a womanism. Womanism. I read one article saying that.
No.
Say, why you have to change it? Because, people feel reluctant or somehow they feel intimidating.
Intimidating, yeah.
Like with these F words. But if you say, okay, I'm a tokoh perempuan, I'm not feminist, and things like that. But, okay, I try to be more practical. I want to educate more people, young people, to get this idea. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, even through the festival, you're promoting writers and not only women writers as well, right? But all different writers.
All different writers. This year, for example, we, in the festival, we produce short film, a documentary film every year. To pay a tribute to a prominent figure in literature, culture. And this year, the prominent person that we pay tribute to was the first female mayor in Indonesia.
Okay.
Happened to serve as a mayor in Makassar during the colonial time. But our mainstream history deleted her name.
Why?
From the history, because she joined this organization called Gerwani, and Gerwani was affiliated with the Indonesian Communist Party. And, during the Order Baru or the New Order era, everything that related to communism, Indonesia Communist Party had to be, cut off.
Yeah.
So I was really in May this year when the documentary was finalized and we are about to launch, doing a premiere in the opening. I said to the group of people who helped us to produce the film, the young film director, the producer, and also the our curator who brought this idea to produce this the documentary of Salawati Dawood, the name of this female journalist, writer, first female mayor in
wow.
Indonesia.
Wow.
We rewrite our own history.
Yeah, that happens.
And
a
it's
lot.
It's a history of a brave female writer from Makassar. So things like that, I think it's very important that we as a community, we as a civil, you know, a group of civil society, empower ourselves and, you know, contributing to this history making with a new model where, you know, in the media, you have this user-generated content things have citizen reporters and all that stuff. Now you have power, you have access to rewrite your story. And then history now is not something that written by those in power, but those who empowered themselves, including us, the ordinary ones. Yeah.
Okay. That's fascinating. And it's wonderful that you've taken on this initiative. And I mean, we're running out of time, but can you tell me about what you are going to be doing here in Rimbundahan for this month residency?
Yes. There are quite a lot of things happening right now. But one thing for sure, I want to bridge the connection between Malaysia and Indonesia through literature. So now I'm looking at the Malaysian contemporary literature and also independent publishers.
Okay.
One of the independent publisher launched its anthology in Makassar this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to, you know, strengthen the connections and see if I can, you know, like bring more Malaysian writers to our festival and vice versa. You know, sending more Makassan writers to, you know, to any literary festivals or even events. We can create events between two countries because people-to-people connection is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And as one of my creative partners says that if you want to visit a country, you need to look at the Google Map, to find the directions, but maybe you want to you Google the best cafes or what to do during your stay. But if you want to enter someone's soul, the worldview of Malaysian people, read the literature.
Yeah,
and I think I've started it actually with Japanese contemporary literature early this year. So I went to Japan for a fellowship. I tried to understand the contemporary Japanese society by reading lots of Japanese literature.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing the same thing now with Malaysian. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. So there's so much.
Yes, very interesting. I'm going to invite a group of young poets to Rimbundahan for Makan Bersama, or it's a kind of a literary lunch.
Oh, lovely, literary lunch.
Yes, and then, having a conversation. So it's all about engagement.
All about engagement. And then, like you said, to continue the engagement through the festivals.
Yeah,
and through...
it could be festival to festival or even sending one writer to do a residency with us before the festival starts next year.
Right.
And of course, you are. Please come to Makassar.
Yeah, I am fascinated now. I mean, to be honest, I never heard of the festival before, so now I'm intrigued now. You know, it sounds like such a wonderful initiative, and it's free, as you said.
Yes, it's free. It's a four-day event, all free.
Free. Okay. So, you know, if anyone's listening and they're interested to get in touch, you know, to find out more about your work and also maybe to engage, you know, what's the best way to do that?
Well, I think through Instagram.
You have Instagram?
Yeah, Lily Yulianti. That's my Instagram. But you also can visit our festival website, makassarwriters.com.
Okay.
Or Rumata Art Space. It's rumata.org.id. But mostly we are on social media, so on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, Makassar Writers. We post, our events and upcoming events through our social media.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I guess, if anyone wants to get in touch, I guess they just need to look for Makassar International Writers Festival on all the different social media platforms.
Yes.
Yeah. So Facebook, Instagram.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Well, all the best, Lily, and I can't wait to hopefully we'll talk to you after to find out, you know, what sort of bridges were forged and, you know, what sort of connections were made. It'll be fascinating, I'm sure.
Yeah, looking forward.
Okay. All right. I've been speaking to Lily Yulianti Farid. She is a writer. She's also the founder and director of the Makassar International Writers Festival. Lily is here for a month-long residency with Rimbun Dahan. And if you'd like to get in touch, just search for the Makassar International Writers Festival on social media and you can get in touch with Lily through that. If you miss any part of this interview or any previous Feminist Fridays interviews, you can search for the podcast on our BFM app, available on Google Play and the App Store. This has been Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.